Well into the 20th century, minstrel shows in vaudeville with white performers in blackface were popular and even respectable. And those old minstrel show travesties were the ways that lots of people first encountered Shakespeare's plays. A few years ago, the producer Richard Paul dug up one thread of the strange story of Shakespeare's plays interweaving with American race relations.
First thing you need to understand for context is this. In the mid-1800s, if you were a seamstress or a longshoreman, Shakespeare's plots and characters were not strangers to you. Othello and Desdemona were as well known then as Homer and Marge or Tony and Carmela are today. But when you went to the theater, more likely than not, the Othello you saw wasn't this.
Yet I'll not shed her blood, nor scar that whiter skin of hers than snow, and smooth as monumental alabaster.
It was more likely this.
Now, do you know this piece? You can easily learn it. The plot is Othello, a jealous Moor, runs off with Desdemona. Seizes her, strangles her.
I guess I'll play Othello.
It was Shakespeare done minstrel style. Francesca Royster teaches English at DePaul University.
Shakespeare's American life is very closely intertwined with the performance of the minstrel shows.
Minstrel shows generally featured whites in blackface playing stereotypes of African Americans along with other ethnic humor.
If for my wife, your daughter, you're looking, you'll find her in the kitchen, busy cooking.
What's that you say? My daughter is your wife? You damn black rascal, I will have your life going, Rodrigo.
Professor Royster says these Shakespeare parodies allowed Americans to explore some of the toughest issues around race.
Struggles around fears of miscegenation, issues of slavery, for example. What to do with immigrants like Germans and Irish. How are those immigrants integrated into the binary opposition of black and white?
This material, Royster says, was drained of its danger when it was put on stage and mocked.
And I love my Desdemona, away, away, and hand in hand we'll take a stand to spend Brabantio's money. Away,
but while there may be things away, for an historian away, to appreciate outside. About minstrel shows, the fact is this was white people with cork on their faces playing the fool. That's probably one of the many reasons why the African-American sense of ownership when it comes to Shakespeare has been supremely conflicted. Kellyn Sennett Jennings is a professor of theater at American University in Washington, D.C. She also wrote a play called Playing Juliet, Casting Othello.
To be a black American woman saying Juliet's lines, thou knowest the mask of night is on my, and crows and references to the blackness being evil and ugly and bad. Any person of color is going to have to wrestle with what that means.
And yet, Professor Jennings says, it's the beauty and mystery of Shakespeare's work that even while it can oppress, it has also served as a foot in the door.
Shakespeare has often been used by African Americans as a way of proving worthiness.
The earliest example of this came in 1827. Slavery had just ended in New York, and an all-black production of Richard III opened at an ice cream parlor in Lower Manhattan. Shane White is an Australian historian.
Here's a bunch of blacks, many of whom were ex-slaves, performing Shakespeare on stage. Blacks who are struggling to make ends meet. And what do they do when they become free? Well, many of them will try and learn how to read and write. And some of them, in this case, will go out and perform Shakespeare.
They were called the African Grove Theater Company. They were so successful, a rival white theater owner had the actors arrested, I guess you could say for performing while black. One of the Grove's performers, Ira Aldridge, ended up going to England, where he lured people into the theater, thinking they were going to see a minstrel show, and then blew them away with his performance of Othello. That's the real Othello, Shakespeare's Othello.
Aldridge becomes, you know, the most famous black actor of the 19th century.
He'd also play Shylock and Richard III in whiteface. It would be 150 years before a black man played a white Shakespeare role in the U.S. That happened when Joseph Papp created Shakespeare in the Park in New York in the 1970s. Papp instituted what was called colorblind casting, allowing actors like James Earl Jones to play King Lear.
None does offend. None. I say none. I'll able them. Take that of me, my friend, who have the power to seal the accuser's lips.
it was revolutionary to think that a black actor could say these lines and the play have nothing to do with racial tension or racial issues. It was simply the fact that this black actor was a person. What a revolutionary idea.
Colorblind casting was the thing to do for 10 years, but in the 1990s, there was a backlash.
I would much rather that they do art that is of their own specific ethnic or racial background.
The playwright August Wilson waged a campaign excoriating colorblind casting. He suggested that blacks playing whites was really no different from a minstrel show where whites played blacks.
It denies the individual standing on a stage representing another race of people, denies him his own culture.
Wilson felt that if producers could hire black actors for any role, they would stop funding plays by black playwrights about authentically black characters.
You're taking black talent and you're empowering black talent, if you will, at the expense of black theater.
If whites want to possess their culture, he suggested, let them. Now that African Americans have their own cultural capital, they don't need to borrow Shakespeare. Kim Hall is a professor at Fordham University. She says she hears this argument all the time.
This kind of idea that, A, it doesn't belong to African Americans, and from more, you know, I don't know what to say, political and progressive circles, this idea that you should be working on African American authors.
Who does Shakespeare belong to in America? It seems glib and easy at first to say Shakespeare belongs to everyone, but in a way, the African American experience with Shakespeare may be the best evidence that it's true. As Maya Angelou has famously said, speaking here on the BBC's Every Woman program,
it's got to be a black girl who wrote that. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone bemoan my outcast state and trouble a deaf heaven with my bootless cries and look upon myself and curse my fate. See, that's a black girl.
Since that story first aired, both Maya Angelou and August Wilson have died. Richard Paul's original reporting was done for the Folger Shakespeare Library's radio series, Shakespeare in American Life.